Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Kriyos Daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis by Omar Rav Chisda. So it's the second wide line. This loops back to yesterday's discussion. So let's do a brief recap of yesterday's sugya, which will frame today's discussion. So we had discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. He posed him a number of questions. Wanted to know whether if a person commits several infractions repeatedly, will he be chayev one carbon per infraction, or it's all covered under the same carbon? Now, what kind of situation are we talking about? We had three ways to explain it. We had Rabba, Abaye, and Rav Chisda. Let's bring up yesterday's chart just for a refresher. We addressed three different scenarios. One is called Yomim Mechalkin. One was a question of Gufin Mechalkin, and then there was a question of what's the status of a Tolda vis-a-vis the Av. Today we're going to focus on the first two elements of that discussion, Yomim Mechalkin and Gufin Mechalkin. So the question of Yomim Mechalkin pertained to Shigigas Shabbos. A fellow committed Melachos repeatedly, week after week, due to the fact that he wasn't realizing that it's Shabbos. And this happened week after week. So the question is, shall we say, since it was done under one ha'alama, one forgetfulness, one lapse of unawareness, he never consciously came aware that it had been Shabbos when he did the melacha. So perhaps it's one continuous experience covered under one chatas. Or shall we say yomim mechalkin, the fact that there are weekdays in between the two Shabbosos, that automatically creates a split, a gap, a separation between the two Shabbosos. And each Shabbos is addressed separately, and each one triggers its own liability, its own chatas. So we're going to focus today on Rabba and Rav Chisda. According to Rabba, that was not for discussion. Of course, Yomim Mechalkan. He didn't have to ask Rabbi Eliezer such a question. His question was whether Gufin Mechalkan. Now that pertains to a case exactly the opposite. He knows it's Shabbos, but he's not realizing that this is a Melacha, and he does that over and over again, week after week. Shall we say, since it's one unawareness throughout, it's covered under one Chatas? Or shall we say, since this time it was this Shabbos, next time he flicked the light, it was the next Shabbos? Each Shabbos is separate and distinct, because the Melacha relates to the day that it was done in. It's its own environment, each Shabbos. It's like different goof and different elements, different entities. It's like he did two types of malachis, Rashi explains, like he was koitzer one week and chayrish the other week. So although it was the same identical malacha, but since it was done throughout different weeks, each week has its own flavor, its own identity, its own label. Gufin, bodies, entities, mechalkin, they affect the separation and the split and division, in which case he has to bring a separate chatas per Shabbos. So one chatas of turning on the light this Shabbos, another one for the next week, and so on. According to Rabba's approach, this was actually the question that Rabbi Akiva asked of Rabbi Eliezer. What happens in the case of Gufin Mechalkin? Yes or no? His answer was yes. Rabbi Akiva did not accept that, and he held that really one chatas covers it all. We do not say Gufin Mechalkin, because fact is, he didn't realize there was something wrong, and that's what caused him to do it week after week. So irrespective of the fact that it's stretched throughout many Shabbosos, it's one root cause of forgetfulness for this malacha, one chatas. We'll jump over to Rav Chisda. He says, look, regarding this question of Gufin Mechalkin, when it was Shigigas Malachis, meaning he knew it was Shabbos, but unaware of the significance, the consequence of the value of what he's doing, of course Gufin Mechalkin, of course, each week has to be treated separately. That wasn't up for discussion. And Rakiva knew that on his own. His question was regarding Yomim Mechalkin, which is again exactly the opposite. He knew that this is Malacha, but he didn't realize today was Shabbos, and that happened week after week. Shall we say, the fact that there are days in between, it's as though he became aware that he had missed the Shabbos, and that he had done Malacha on Shabbos. Rashi says it's inevitable that he shouldn't have some sort of subconscious awareness. Look, these are weekdays. Apparently, that day was Shabbos. Tosfos learns that it's a gzeiras hakasa, so the fact that we have such a drastic, separation, delineation between the Shabbat. We have weekdays that automatically constitutes a separation. Okay, whichever way you learn. So the question is whether Yomim Mechalkin, and that was the question posed by Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Eliezer, to which he responded yes, and Rabbi Akiva actually accepted it. He was okay with it. So bottom line, regarding Yomim Mechalkin, just refresh the terms because we're just going to use short terms, short form terms as we learn the Gemara to keep it concise and simple. Again, Yomim Mechalkin pertains to a fellow who's aware that this is a malacha, but not aware of Shabbos. He doesn't realize Shabbos today, and this happens week after week. Do we say it's one continuous experience, one shgoga, one chatas, or do we say yom and mechalkan, days in between, separate? So according to all, Rabba, Abaya, and Rav Chizah, ultimately, yeah, yom and mechalkan. It's just that according to Rabba, he didn't have to ask it, was so obvious. The question mainly pertains to the next point, Gufin Mechalkin, which is exactly the opposite. He knows it's Shabbos. He's fully aware that it's Shabbos, but he's not realizing this is a malacha and does it repeatedly week after week. According to Rav Chizda, obviously it's a separate entity. The Shabbos is this Shabbos. The malacha next Shabbos is next Shabbos is malacha. So each malacha, the malacha done on each Shabbos is considered separate from the next Shabbos. That's Rav Chizda's approach. So again, according to Rakiva, even according to Rakiva, Guven Machalkin, according to Rabba, it was a question that he posed to Rabbi Eliezer, who says yes, Guven Machalkin, and he didn't really accept it. So the focal point of our discussion will pertain to this case of Guven Machalkin, which according to and Rabbi Akiva's opinion as such, of such, according to Rabba, it's not Machalkin, according to Rav Chizda, yes. Even according to Rakiva Guven Machalke. Okay, so now let's see the Gemara. The second white one. Amar Rav Chizda. How do I know that this is so? That what is so? That Rav Akiva is in full agreement with Rav Eliezer that Guven Machalke. Amar Rav Chizda. Menah Minila. The sign you have a brice. Hakoyis v'shtei oishis belamechas. So he's engaged in the Melacha of Ksiva, which entails recording two letters. So two letters is a full malach. One letter is a half a malach. He did a behelam achas, which again means under one lapse of forgetfulness. Not realizing, right? Chayev. So you combine the letters, it's one act, it's one malacha, and it's chayev achatas. Bebeiz halamos, suppose they were not done continuously, meaning he wrote one letter, and then realized, ooh, what did I do? I did a malacha. Then he forgot again and proceeded to conclude the next letter. Shall we say they've been divided, separated? You can't combine them into one malacha. Or shall we say, look, the awareness, the knowledge came to him right in the middle. So what did he know? What did he become aware of? The what? That he wrote a letter? What's a letter? A letter on its own is not a malacha. Hence a machlekes. Rabbi Gamliel said, this yediyah, this knowledge, this awareness, has no halachic value, and therefore mechayev. Rabbi Gamliel mechayev, he obligates him for echatas, because we skip over this awareness, we combine the two letters into one malacha, chacham patron. Chacham say, look, the fact is, he had a yediyah, he had some level of knowledge, even though it was only a yediyah of chatz yishir, of hefty amount, a hefty malacha, ultimately he came to realize what he did. So that affects the separation, they dissect the experience, and you can't connect the two letters. Umoide Ram Gamliel, even Ram Gamliel, who in the previous case attaches the letters, he would agree in the following case, if one letter was written last Shabbos and one this Shabbos, certainly it's too far apart, you can't connect it. Shem Kosov Ois Achas B'Shabbosu, Ois Achas B'Shabbosu, he recorded one letter in this Shabbos and one letter in the next Shabbos. Ois Achas B'Shabbos Achar is Potter, of course he's Potter, you can't combine and connect those letters. And we're going to explain it in a minute. So according to this braisa, although when it comes to the question of Yediyah Lachatzi Shiur, Rav Gamliel discounts the Yediyah. It's as though he never became aware in between and we combined the two letters. But when it comes to one letter per Shabbos, too far apart, you can't connect them. V'tanya achriti, we have another contradicting b'raisa. Hakoyes v'shteyosis v'shtey Shabbosis, echad b'Shabbosu v'echad b'Shabbosu. He recorded two letters, one letter last week, one letter this week. Rav Gamliel, you would think he would exempt him, right? No, mechayev. V'chachamim other patron. So the question is, a minute ago, Rav Gamliel said, he agreed. He was Maida. You can't connect letters from last week to this week. How do you explain, how do you reconcile this apparent contradiction? The Gemara figures at this point. The Rav Gamliel could Rav Akiva severely. The Rav Gamliel is in line with Rav Akiva, as we're going to see later. If so, if Rav Gamliel is aligned with Rabbi Akiva, this will give us a window into Rabbi Akiva / Rav Gamliel's position on the matter of Chatos for Ishgaga, which is the topic of our discussion today. Kosaka daita the Rav Gamliel the Rabbi Akiva severely. So let's go back and make an attempt at reconciling this apparent contradiction between two brises. One letter last week, one letter this week. Price number one, Rav Gamliel says, Pater, too far apart. Can't combine weeks. Gufen Muchlaken, right? As opposed to the second Price, where he seems to say otherwise. He says you could combine two letters of two different weeks. Bishloim Eladidi, says Rav Chisda. So according to my approach, in the understanding of the Machlekes, that in terms of the question of Gufen Muchlaken, all agree, yes, Gufen HaMachalken. Bishlema Ledid Amina, that I said Zodah in Shabbos, Vishigas Malachit, he knew it's Shabbos, not realizing that it's a Malach, and does it repeatedly week after week, that's the case of Gufen Machalken. In that case, all agree, Afilu Rav Akiva, Oymer de Shabbos is Kegufen Damian. Even Rav Akiva agrees that each Shabbos is treated separate and distinct from the next. Okay, so that explains the Braisa. Hadasanya Potter. So the first Braisa, which says Potter when it's letter last week and letter this week, is this very case. Bazalta in Shabbat. He knows it's Shabbos. Vishigas Malacha is not really going to say Malacha. It does it repeatedly week after week. One letter last week, one letter this week. You can't connect. Different Gufen, different experiences, different environments. The Shabbos is because the two Shabbos, Kigufen Dami, two different entities. Rashi says like two half malachis, like he plowed and he harvested. They're not comparable. They're not connected. So that explains Brisa number one. What about Brisa number two? It's not the same exact case. That's talking about a question of Yom Machalkin. That's when he knew that it's a malach, not realizing that it's Shabbos today, and the same again next week. It's the only way to separate the Shabbos is by employing the concept of Yom Machalken. That was the first point we spoke about. That the days that are experienced in between is like an awareness. It's like a yediyah. Well, guess what? According to Rav Gamliel, even if it's a yediyah, but in this case, it wouldn't help us. Because, like we said, any yediyah l'chatzis shiur, knowing about a half a malacha is not considered an awareness. So we discount that yediyah, and we could connect the 2 weeks. Hence, we have two letters written in unison for a malacha. Beautiful. V'adasani, we turn to the next page. V'adasani chayav. Whereas the second brisa, where we say, according to Rav Gamliel, you could connect last letter with this letter. B'shigga Shabbos. V'zadim malacha. He's aware that it's a malacha, not realizing that it's Shabbos week after week. And although we have those days in between which constitute an awareness, awareness, big deal. Awareness right in the middle of a malacha doesn't count. Because he holds any idea of the chatzishir. Yediyah in the middle of a malacha, when he's only halfway done, doesn't have any value. So we can discount and we can connect the two letters. Beautiful, says Rav Chisda. That's a riot to what I'm saying. That in terms of Guf and Machalkin, of course, we're on Yom Machalkin as well, but it wouldn't really have any relevance in this case. Elo le Rav. Now, the Girsa changes all the Ravis pretty much on this page to Rabba, because he's the opposing view. Elo le Rabba, according to Rabba's approach, which was that according to Rav Akiva, yes, Yom Machalkin, but not Gufin, then we're stuck. There's no way to explain these brises. El Rabba de Amar. Spiritually, the Rabbi Kiva, the Shabbos is Guf Echad Hein. You don't see Guf and Mechalkin. All the Shabbos is like one entity. Okay, so let's go back to the Brises. Bishle Mahadasan Yechayev. So the second Brisa, which says that you could combine the two letters, so last week and this week, according to Rav Gamliel, Mishkachasla, that can happen as follows. Doesn't really matter how. We're always connected. Pain Bezodah in Shabbos, Vishigas Malachis. Whether he wasn't unaware about the Malacha aspect, and he did it throughout a couple of weeks, right? One letter last week, one letter this week. Doesn't matter, Shabbos is, because the 2 weeks Kiguf Echad Dehein, it's like one entity, it's like one experience. That works. So you combine and he's Chayiv. Uvein Vishigas Shabbos, Bezodah Malachis. Likewise, he could be speaking where he's not aware of the Shabbos. And that happens week after week. And despite the fact that we have those weekdays in between, which are called Yom Machalkim, but again, it doesn't have any relevance in this case, because even if there is a Yediyah in between, but a Yediyah that occurred in the middle of a Malacha, a mid-Malacha awareness has no value. The Kosovar Rav Gamliel holds, any Yediyah L'chatzi Shir, a Yediyah that took place in the middle of a Shir, in the middle of a Malacha, has no value. So the second Brisa is great. But what about the first Brisa? You have no way to reconcile the Brisa which says, do not combine letters. And that's why it's Potter. How do you explain that? Bella, Hadasanya, Potter, but the first Brisa which says you can't combine last week's letter with this week's. How are you going to explain it? Loi b'chada v'lo b'chada, not. In the context of this kind of scenario, not. In the context of the other one. Whether the Shgaga was on the Malach, on the Shabbos, you can't separate the other letters. So once you combine it, it's a malacha. A malacha, Rabba. Rabba responds like this. Your assumption has to be corrected. You were working with the assumption that Rabba Gamliel is in line with Rabbi Akiva, hence it's triggered the whole. No, Rabba Gamliel is filled with Rabbi Eliezer. He actually adopted Rabbi Eliezer's view, the opposing view, who says we always separate things. The Amar Shabbos is Kuguf and Damyan. He says, of course, each Shabbos is treated separate and distinct from the next. Okay, therefore, that explains the first Brisa, which says we can't be Metzarif last week's letter with this week's letter. And we're talking that it was Shigas Malachi. He didn't realize that it's a Malachi. He did it week after week. Even though it's one Shkoga, one Halama, but it took place under the auspices of different Shabbos. Each Shabbos is a separate environment. It's a world. Guf and Damyan. That's the first Brisa, which says Potter, and the second Brisa, which says Chayev. You could combine last week's with this week's letter speaking that the Shkoga pertained to the Shabbos. He's not realizing that it's Shabbos week after week. So in that case, the only thing we could work with is the fact that there are days in between which sort of generate an awareness. You have a machalka, but like we said, even if there is an awareness that occurred mid-malach has no value. So we're great on the two brises, it's perfect. Continues the Gemara. V'amid diktani yomoy de Rav Gamliel. But now we have a kasha on this, because if we take a look at that first brise, he says, Rav Gamliel says, well, we say he agrees, he's moida to his opponent. We presume it's to his opponent. Who is he agreeing? He's agreeing to his opponent that we can't combine last week's letter with this week's letter. Now, when you say umoida, he's conceding, apparently there is some point of contention. There's some outstanding point of contention between them, right? Apparently there's some other scenario where they're in disagreement. We have to go out and explore that and discover what are they arguing about. Says Rav Chisda, if you work with my assumption that Rav Gamliel was on Rabbi Akiva's track, and as I said, Gufan Amachalkin, and regarding the question of Yomim Machalkin, according to Rambam Gamliel, in this case, Yamim won't be Mechala because the Yamim, what do? They generated a Yediyah. A Yediyah mid Malach has no value. But that would be the point of contention because that's Rambam Gamliel's opinion. Ein Yediyah l'chatzi shira, but according to Rabbi Akiva, a Yediyah mid Malach would make a division, would make a separation. So we find a point of difference between Rambam Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. So it's all going well if Rambam Gamliel is in fact on Rav Akiva's track. Regarding the question of Guf and Mechalkin, the answer is yes. Hainu de Pligi. So in what case are they arguing? Are they disagreeing? B'shig HaShabbos Lada Melachis. Where he's not sure about the Shabbos. Not aware about the fact that today is Shabbos, although we know that's a Melacha. And he wrote a letter last week and a letter this week. Can we connect them or not? The Rabban Gamliel Savar Eini D'Lechatzi Shir. The fact that there's some element of awareness in between has no value because it's a mid-melacha awareness. Whereas, and it would be chayiv. Whereas the Chachamim, which is Rabbi Akiva, would hold the yam in between the Shabbos and Amachalak, a yediyah mid melacha does separate, and that explains that first brisa. And he wrote two letters in this manner. Rav Gamliel says chayiv. Why? Because this type of yediyah mid melacha yediyah has no value. The Chachamim Paitrim, they say it does have value. So now the letters are separated, you can't combine them. To which the Brisa concludes with, Moedu Rabbi Ram Gamliel. But even Ram Gamliel, who disagreed about the first point with Rabbi Akiva, he would totally agree with him. If it's one letter last week, and one letter this week, Moedu Ram Gamliel Bezod in Shabbos, Shigas Malachis. So if it's one letter last week and one letter this week, but the situation is a bit different, the Shkaga pertain to the Malacha. He knew it was Shabbos. He didn't realize it was a Malacha. He did that week after week. Letter last week, letter this week. Shu Pater, of course, he's Pater, even according to Rambam Gamliel. Why? Because we all agree. Gufin HaMechalken. Each Shabbos is its own distinct environment. Can't connect to the next Shabbos. Almo Shabbos, apparently the two Shabbos is Kigufin Damian, treat like two separate entities. Perfect, said Rav Chisda. Works perfectly. So again, regarding the question of Gufin, we're all on the same page. Gufin HaMechalken. He agrees with Akiva. Gufin HaMechalk. What's you arguing about? At the other question, when it's a question of Yamei Mechalk, when it's a reverse type of equation where the Shkaga was on the Shabbos and it happened week after week, should we say the days in between affect the separation? It's a idea mid Malacha. Akiva says yes. Ramulia says no. Perfect. And regarding the second brisa again, where Rambam Gamliel is Machayev, when it's a letter last week, letter this week. Again, because we're talking that the Shkaga was on the pertains to the Shabbos, and days in between could not affect the Yediyah, because it's a mid Malacha Yediyah. Perfect. Elo Yamas, Rambam Gamliel could relate the Sphere. But according to you, Rab, the only way you were able to explain and reconcile the Brises was by saying that Rambam Gamliel is going to Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, who holds Guf and Machalkin. And that's why when it's a Shigas Malachis, the letter of last week cannot connect to the letter of this week. Each letter relates to its respective Shabbos. So that's in line with Rabbi Eliezer. For this is severely. But Rabbi Akiva does not hold a Guf and Mechalk. Fine. Mechalal de Pligi. But regarding our Diuk, there appears to be some difference of opinion between Rambam Gamliel and Rav Eliezer. As the Brisa says, I agree with him on this, but disagree on something else. But my, what's the point of disagreement? We can't really find anything that they disagree about in this in this type of matter of connecting and combining particles of malachis. Is it regarding the question of Yomim Mechalkin, when the Shkaga was on the Shabbos week after week? The question is whether the days in between affect the separation, as we had just proposed, according to the other way, that that was Machlokes in Rav Akiva. But we can't apply it here because Rav Elazar also holds of that. So if it's a question of Rav Gamliel vis-a-vis Rav Elazar, they're both on the same page on this question as well. There's no Machlokes, as we find, we'll show you, we'll find that Rav Elazar is on the same page, that you can't have a mid-melacha awareness. Rav Elazar is exactly on the same page as Rav Gamliel in this matter. You can't have a mid malacha yediyah. That's the Tanya. We have a brayse about it. He wrote his letters throughout 2 weeks. One letter last week, one letter this week. Rabbi Elazar Machayev. He holds him accountable. What do you mean? Different weeks. Who cares? Because even if it qualifies as a yediyah, it's a mid malacha yediyah. So if we clearly see that regarding both matters, regarding the question of Yomim, they both agree Yomim and not Mechalkin. Regarding the question of Gufin, they both agree Gufin and not Mechalkin. So why is the Brisa implying that there's some sort of disagreement between the two? Well, Machas al Arik, we discovered another instance where there is a Machalikis. Where? Achas al Arik. So there's a halacha that you have to weave a certain shear to be chayiv, and let's say it's already partially woven, you know, the garment, and he added another string without a full shear, just a one string. Since he's adding it to a pre-existing beggar, that gives it a chashivas, it gives it prominence, considered a malacha. So it's a little bit of a similar type of situation where you're combining, you're adding to a pre-existing, you know, started malacha. So perhaps we can propose that over there, there's machlokes from Gamliel holds that is chayiv, even though what he added is relatively insignificant, but since he's adding it to something of significance that has chashivos, it's a malach, and Plash Rav Elazar would disagree on that. Well, guess what? Chiv Mechayiv, we find that Rav Elazar himself also holds him accountable for doing just this. It's not Rav Elazar Oymah, Ha'erek Shloi Shachut Batchila. To start a weave has to be three lines, three rows. Ve'echad Al-Arek. If he adds one chut to an existing weave, he's chayiv. So clearly they're both on the same page. There's no point of contention on that case. Rava Amar, Michlal de Polag Bechad. I'll give you a different case, where in fact there's a machlokes regarding combining things. The Sanya, Hoitzi Chatzi Great Geres. A fellow carried out, you know, into the street some food. Now the minimum Shira for Itza on food is a gregarious, the size of a dried fig, and he did half the amount at a time. Came back in and carried out another half. Was done under the same halim, same forgetfulness, is chayiv. His chayiv achatas because we deem it as one experience. It was done under two separate unawarenesses, meaning he reminded himself in between. They're disconnected, they're separate, he's pot. And it doesn't really matter if the carried on the street, if it was two separate streets separated by houses. The fact is, he carried a half a gugaris to the street, came back and did another half a gugaris, even if it's a different street. He combined into one malach. Reisa Aymer, it depends if this Rishus Rabim is the same Rishus Rabim, Behelam Echad, but with one Helam, but there's another preconditioned Rishus Echad to the same street, Shem Rishus Ayechad, is Chayiv. Shtei Rishu is Pata, but if it's two different streets separated by Rishus Ayechad, then you can't compare it, can't combine. So we find the machlokes regarding combining, uniting parts of malachis. Perhaps this was the point of machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Gamliel got Tanakama. Rabbi Gamliel followed the Tanakama. We always combine it, despite them being different streets. Rabbi Elazar group Yosim, that it has to be the same street. Okay, good, great. So at this point, again, we have the machlokes Rav Chizda and Rabba, whether Gufin HaMachalkin or Koin to Rav Akiva, meaning Koin to Rav Elazar, we know Gufin HaMachalkin. What about Rav Akiva? Or Gufin HaMachalkin, again, Gufin HaMachalkin means where you have Shigas Malacha. He's not aware about the malacha, although he knows it's Shabbos. He does it week after week. Shall we say one chatas covers it all? Or shall we say the malacha on this week is different than the malacha next week? Gufin mechalkan, the Shabbos is separate and split them. According to Rav Chisda, the answer is a resounding yes. Even according to Rav Akiva. According to a Rabba, no, Rav Akiva would hold gufin are not mechalkan. Although according to Rav Blazer, they are. Rav Chisda supported his view from that dual brisa, the two brisa that seem to contradict each other regarding the Kaisev. We wrote one letter last week, one letter this week. And one brisa from Gamliel says Potter, they're disconnected. The other one says Chayev, they are connected. Says Rav Chisda, oh, Rav Gamliel is going like Rav Akiva. And the first brisa, Gufan HaMechalken, therefore they're disconnected. And the second brisa, we're talking about Yamim HaMechalken, because there was the Shkog on the Shabbos. At most you could have is that the days in between the Shabbos that separate them. Well, the days affect an awareness. Yediyah, mid Malacha Yediyah is not reckoned with. And Rabbah had to explain it differently. That Rav Gamliel is going like Rav Eliezer. And that explains why in the first prize says Potter, because Gufan Armachalkin, Koncha Eliezer. And in the second prize say, you connect the letters because they were talking where the Shkog was in the Shabbos says. He didn't realize it was Shabbos week after week. You want the days to make like a Yediyah? It's a Yediyah Chatzis Shir. It doesn't work. And we explained why the Brisa used the word Moide, that he agrees with Elazar, because in a different instance there is a Machlokes in something similar. Tashma. Here comes another Raya to Rav Chisda's approach. That in fact all agree that Gufana Machalkin, and the question was posed to Belezer back in the Mishnah regarding Yom Machalkin. So all agree if the Shkog relates to the Malacha. He knows the Shabbos, but it's unaware about the Malacha, and there's a week after week, all agree it's separate. The question was regarding Yom Machalkin. The Shkog was on the Shabbos, so it's week after week. Shall we say the days in between affect the separation? Whereas according to Rabbah, all agree Yom Machalkin. That was not for discussion. The question was regarding Guf and Machalkin. And Rav Leza says they are, and Rav Akiva did not accept it. Okay, so again, that was the different approaches to the Mishnah. Let's go back to take a look at the Mishnah itself and see how it fits. Toshma, Omar Loi. So in response to Rav Akiva's question, whatever it was, Rav Leza says, yes. Separate liabilities, Chayev al Kalachas v'achat, Mkavachayim, Mesan al Kavachayim, Mani, Dushim, but Tetoes hybrid. Getting involved with Anida, which is relatively limited, a limited scope. There aren't so many, you know, applications, so many variations of Isser. It's one thing interacting with the woman. Still, one gets separate liabilities for repeated violations. Certainly by Shams, which has many applications, many malachis, we separate the liabilities. Now, from this comparison to Anida, we can derive what the question was regarding Shabbos. What was the nature of his query? Bishlem l'Rav Chisda, Domar Shugiga, Shabbos is other Malachas by Minei. So certainly according to Rav Chisda's approach, the question was, Shkog on the Shabbos that happened week after week, shall we say the days, the weekdays separate, the Yom Shemen time, days in between, min havin yediyah l'chalak aloy, are the days considered yediyah and they separate or not? That was his question. So it works well with his response. Hainu dekamaleu manida. That explains why he responded to him from the halach of the nida, which is also separated by days. We'll see later. She went to the mikvah between. There are days of tahara in between. So it's a similar equation. And for there, we separate the liabilities here as well. Hello, the Rabbah Domer Zodah in Shabbos v'shigas malchus deboy minei. But according to Rabbah's approach, that he knew Yom HaMachalken, that was not for discussion. His question was the Gufna HaMachalken. So in a case where he knew it was Shabbos, but Shkaga was in the Malacha and did it week after week, shall we say different Shabbos has different liabilities. Shabbos is whether or not the Shabbos is iki Gufn Damian v'loy, whether Shabbos are considered like separate entities or not. Listen to Nidois. So to that, Rav Leza should have responded from several Nidois. Fellows involved with five of his wives who are nidais, separate liabilities, which is a comparable equation to the case of five Shabbosais. Why did he speak about one nida? How does that shed light on the question of Gufin of Shabbos? Amalach Rabba, Tnei Nidais. Let's revise the Mishnah. Tnei Nidais, you respond with the many. And he brought it right from several Nidais. Despite being the same Isser, but since it's separate body, separate people, it's separate Chiyuv. Here as well, each Shabbos, its own separate liability. Shmuel, however, he went like Rav Chizda, Tani Nida. He brought it right from a single Nida. Rav Adar Bar Abba, Tani Nida, as well. Rav Nosson Bar Isha, Amrar, Tani Nidais. He went like Rabba's approach, that there were several Nidais, which correspond to the several Shabbosis. Now, just one more point, Rav Chizda, he was the one to ask this question on Rabba. He brought a Raya to his own position from the Mishnah. According to him, the question was regarding the shkog that pertained to the Shabbos. Week after week, shall we say the yamim shebein time, the days in between, min havi nidil lechalak v'iloi, but the days are considered like awareness, meaning does it make a separation between Shabbos? And he responded with a raya from Nida, ma yamim shebein time avidin lechalak ispa. What do you have days there to be lechalak between the violations? Amar rav v'kon shebola v'tavla. But that was, he was involved with her once she was in Nida. Then she was tavel. So she had Yimei Toyar, a different world, different experience. He has, it's like weekdays versus Shabbos. Yimei Tahara between Yimei Tumah. Verasa, and then she saw Dam again. She became a Nidah. Mechazer Olah, and get him out with her again. But Tavla, she would travel over and over. Mechazer Olah, the Tvilois, so the Tvilois, and Yimei Tahara. Then interpersed between the Yimei Tumah having Kiyam Shimon time. It's like the weekdays between Shabbos. So it's a fair equation. Tashma is another. Right in the Mishnah, this time to Rabba's approach, that the question was regarding Yomim, not regarding Gufim. Toshma Habalak Tanis Yechiach. The next phase of the Mishnah, but let's bring Rai from Ketanis, got involved with underage Nidais. Yechiach, that will prove that each one is a separate violation, likewise by Shabbos. So Bishloim Mele Rabba Hanik Tanis Tanis, we're going to Rabba. It's a question of Gufim, whether Shabbos is a separate. Perfect right from ketanois, plural. You got involved with many ketanis that are nida. We say each one is separate, each group is separate. Perfect. Comparison, el Rav Chizda, my ketanis, according to Rav Chizda, why discuss the many? They weren't discussing the question of gufin. Ketanis da amma was just one ketana. It's an expression. She's underage, of the underage girl. So basically, yes, it was a right from one person with repeated violations. And like we said before, the way you may tire in between, which compares to the yamim, the weekdays between the Shabbosis. Hence the comparison. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have two ways to understand the Mishnah. What was Rabbi Akiva's question? According to Rabbo, yamim mechalkin was clear cut. Question was regarding gufin mechalkin, to which Rabbi Lezer responded, yes, separate liabilities, and Rabbi Akiva did not accept it. According to Rabbi Chizda, gufin mechalkin was a done deal to begin with. We all knew that. Question was regarding Yamim Mechalkin. Tosh, Dr. Gemara writes, my sister like Adin Tana. Interestingly, the version that we have in our Mishnah is different than the following version, the following Brisa. We have a totally different version of that discussion. In our Mishnah, he posed them regarding Malachis and responded from Nida. In the following Brisa, the question was actually about Nida itself. The Sanya of Rav Shimon Lazar, like Ali, Rabbi Kibbutz, Rabbi Eliezer, they responded, okay, we won't bring a raya from Shabbos. We'll bring a different source that is chayv multiple times for multiple violations with one isha. Amr Habalak Tanis Yechiach gets involved with many underage women when they're in Nida. That'll prove our point. So, Shema Tatos Harbe, Chatos Harbe. Again, there are no many applications by Nida. It's one solitary form of Isser. Interacting with it, right? V'chayv kolachas v'achas. And he's chayv one chatas per ktana, per woman. Likewise, in the case of the fellow got involved with his own wife multiple times as a nida, v'chayv one per time. So he says, amr loy. So the response was, amr loy. Imamarta loy, imamarta b'ktanish, shkigufa m'chlogin. How can you compare? We're talking about separate people there, separate ktanis. I'm talking about the same person. Okay, Amrleis, they responded, Habala Behem Yechiach. We bring a raya from a fellow gets involved with a behema. The same behema repeatedly. So there, the equation fits very well. It matches with your case of one single nida repeatedly. Shein gufin mechalokin are no separate entities. It's one behemah, v'chayev al kol vachas, and each one is chayev separately. Tesis brings that. He knew that from his Rebbe. It was a known fact. Chayev al kol vachas. Likewise, repeated involvement with a nisha nida should generate separate liabilities. And the response was, Amru loy, they responded to him. Actually, some changed all the Amrus to Amar, because it was a one-on-one conversation between Rabbi Akiva and Eliezer. So he says to him, Amar loy, guess what? You're trying to establish the halacha of a nida based on what happens by behema. I'm not sure about behema as well. Amar loy, behema can nida. The same suffix I have regarding nida, I have regarding behema. So he didn't accept Eliezer's response. Hadran halacha Amar loy. Begin a new parable. So if until now we spoke about the chiyuv of a chatos for transgressing one of those severe averas on the karas list, so if it's done b'mezid, there's karas, b'shege, there's a karma chatos to atone for it, but there's a middle option as well, an asham tali, which addresses a suffic isser. He's not sure whether he actually committed the isser. He brings a special karma asham tali, which Rashi later explains is meant to protect him from any possible retribution, so it's a temporary hold on the system until he verifies, until he confirms that if he in fact ate did the Yisr, he'll bring a chatas. Up until that point, Yashan Tali addresses the situation. So what's an example of a Chiyav Hashem Tali? Classic is Chelev. So Chelev typically refers to forbidden fats, as opposed to Shuman, which is permissible fats. They look very similar, they're easily interchangeable. So this fellow ate something, perhaps it was chelev, perhaps it was shuman. He's not sure. Safek ochal chelev, safek lo yachal. Did he eat the chelev, did he not? Next possibility is, afilu ochal, even though he knows he ate, meaning he thought it was shuman, he ate it, and it turns out it was really chelev. So what's the element of uncertainty? The amount. He's not sure how much he ate. Safek yeshbo kashir, perhaps it contained the full portion, the kazayis, which would make him accountable for a chatas. The suffix, we turn to him and raise, Aimboy doesn't have the shear. It's another example of a suffix. Another example, Shuman v'chelev l'fanav. He had a Shuman, which is permissible material, and chelev before him. V'achal echad mem ate one, not sure which one, v'ini adeh eiz men achal. Now we shift to arayis. Ishtei v'achos ima v'bayis. He had the wife, was permissible, and the sister was not permissible. Both in the home. Shogeg b'achas mehen, he was involved with one of them, not realizing. Ve'ni yedei beizim mehen shogeg. After the fact, he's, maybe it was the wrong one. Now we shift to malachas on Shabbos. Shabbos v'yom choyl. There is the Shabbos day and the weekday. He turned on the light, not sure. Was it Shabbos? Was it Sunday? V'asa malacha b'achat mehen. He did malacha on one of those days. Ve'ni yedei is not sure. Beizim mehen also. Which one was it? Now Rashi, by the way, points out that the Asham Tali is only going to address an innocent fellow, meaning a fellow who didn't realize to begin with that there was a suffix. But let's say he took his chances knowing that there is some sort of uncertainty, he's not eligible for a Asham Tali. It's like a mezid. So typically a mezid is a purposeful violator. Here, he did a mezid as a suffix. I should say he did a suffix as a mezid. He's also ineligible for a carbon. But if it was just an innocent mistake, which turned out to be a possibility of an Isser, in these cases, maybe Hashem Tali. Continues the Mishnah. What if he had multiple experiences? We treat it the same like the Chatas. K'shem shim achal chela v'chela b'elam echas. Just like when a person eats certain, definite chela, once and again in the same helam, meaning the same forgetfulness, he's chayv achatas, but how many? One per or group rate for all? It's only one covering everything because it was one experience. Likewise, on the flip side, if it's a suffix situation, it runs the same system. So although you consume many portions of possible Isser, it's one Hashem Tali for all because he never had a reminder in between, so it's one continuous experience covered by one. However, if there was some element of awareness in between, he reminded, I ate suffix chelev. Just like by chatas, it bookends the experience, and he starts anew. Kach maybe Hashem Tali, Kachas Vachas, like a Hashem Tali situation where it's a suffix, very, very similar. The idea, oops, I may have sinned, So there it's a vaday. Oops, I did. Here it's, oh, maybe. It bookends the episode, and the next suffix gets its own Hashem Tolik. Kach, maybe Hashem Tolik, achas v'achas. Another parallel between the chatas and the Hashem Tolik, Hashem she'achal, chela, v'dama, pickle, v'noisa, just like when he eats many different types of these surim, bela machas, even those under the same forgetfulness, chayv, achas v'achas, he's chayv, one chatas per, kach, al, lo yadish len, likewise, when there's an uncertainty pertaining to all these variations, maybe Hashem Tolik, one per variation, al, kalachas v'achas, itzmar. We have a big machlokes. What would trigger the Hashem Tolik? We know it's a suffix, uncertainty. But does he need a choice between two pieces in front of him? And he ate one, not sure which one, or even a single piece does it? One piece whose identity is unknown, and he ate it, and he's not sure what happened. Is that sufficient for Hashem Tolik? Itma, big machlokes. Rav Asi Yomar Chaticha Hashaninu. When the Mishnah speaks about a suffix, it's in the same piece. It's one solitary piece. Suffix shal chelab, suffix shal shumah. Not true, as Hashem told him. So there's a piece before him. He's innocently assuming that it's heter, he eats it. Then, after the fact, oops, it may have been chelab. That's enough to trigger a Hashem told him. Chiyah, the son of Rav, says no. Chiyah, Rav Omar. You need to have a set of pieces. One is there, one heter. Meaning after the fact he discovered, you know, those pieces, one was Isser, one was Heter, but I'm not really sure which one I ate. You have to have Isser established before you start, within this equation. We're speaking that he ate one out of the two pieces before him, which was discovered later to have been one Isser, one Heter. That suffix deserves an Hashem Tolik. My Kamiflaki, what's the Machlekes based on? Rav Asi Omar, Sabar. Look at the Pasuk. Pasuk says, by the Hashem Tolik, he did one of the mitzvahs, achas mekol mitzvahs, Hashem HaShalit HaSena, he transgressed one of the commandments. He should have held back, he ate it, he's not sure what happened, he brings Hashem Tolik. Rav Asi Sava Yeshem HaMaseris. We focus on the Maseris. The primary mode of derivation is the Maseris. The spelling, the way it was handed down in the written form. And it's read mitzvah, it's spelled like mitzvah, ksiv, which is singular. One single piece, which has a suffix, is enough to trigger Hashem Tolik. V'chi barav amay yishem lemikri, focus on the mikot where it's read. Plural, mitzvahs, kareem, read it plural. There were two items there. Both he should have kept away from because it was a suffix, which one's the aser. And he got involved with one, not sure which, his chayv Hashem Tolik. So there had to have been a choice between the Isser and Heter that would be for him. He proceeded, took one, not sure which one. In that case, is Chayav Hashem Tolik. Eisiv Rav Huna l'Ravasi. Ramilo was Chayav Rav asking l'Ravasi. Look at the Mishnah, which seems to speak about two pieces as a starting point of the equation. Chayav v'shuman l'fanav. He had a chayav and a shuman before him. My love, let's assume the sefer shtechaticha is the fact that the third case in the Mishnah relates to two pieces, Rishonam shtechaticha. Likewise, the first opening line of the Mishnah, Safek Achal Chelav, also relates to a fellow who had two pieces, and that triggered the Safek. Apparently, you need two pieces to start. Rishonam shtechaticha, Amalu Rav. So Rav responded to them, don't prove anything from a Mishnah that can be learned both ways. I mean, he could easily respond to you. No, you were making assumptions. Who says two pieces? Yeah. The next part of the Mishnah is talking about two pieces, but Reisha, the initial part of the Mishnah, the opening scenario, is one piece whose identity was unknown. And that triggers Hashem Tolik as well. If that's the case, once we establish that one piece is enough to trigger, Hashem Tolik, why does the Mishnah even have to get involved with a double piece situation? Which is more obvious because you have Isser right there. I mean, sometimes the Mishnah goes with sort of a, I'll tell you the more obvious and the less obvious. And so, and obviously, this as well is just an expression. Now, according to Chiyah Barav's approach, that proved, just like the Seif is talking about a double piece situation, likewise, the first part of the Mishnah is speaking about a double element equation. So why the repetition in the Mishnah if they're both the same case? Misna Tati Lamni, why does the Mishnah have to express two examples of the same case? Birushikum and Farish. Actually, the Mishnah is explaining itself. You shouldn't think otherwise. We start with Safek Achal Chilev, Safek Lo Achal. It's not sure whether he ate or not. In what type of context? He's maybe Hashem Tali. Ketzad, how? On condition that there were two pieces to start. Ketzad, Kan Shahaya, Chilev, Hashem Alafana. Only then does he bring Hashem Tali. Likewise, Amavidom Arav. You need two pieces to start. He had before him two pieces. One mutter, one asur. Achaz shol shuman, which is mutter. Achaz shol chel, which is asur. And he ate one. Ochel achaz men. Again, unbeknownst to him, right? Only after the fact that he discovered this. Ochel achaz men. He ate one. Very days men. Ochel, not sure which one he ate after the fact. Chayv, he has to bring Hashem Tali because there were two pieces to start. But chaticha achaz, it's merely one piece. Whose identity, whose status is unknown. Safik shal chilav, safik shuman, he ate it, v'achol is potter. Amar Rav, my time at the Rav, what's Rav's source? The pasuk that we mentioned. Amar Rav, v'asa achas mikol mitzvah Hashem b'shkaga. He did a shkaga in one of the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is plural. Shishgag b'shtayim. Provided that his shkaga, his mistake, pertained to two units before him. One was certainly Isser, one was certainly Heter. Mitzvahs, even though it's spelled mitzvahs, which is singular, mitzvah is Korean, read it, mitzvah is plural. Eis v'abayim. So you say you need two pieces. You need a dual element equation in order to trigger the Hashem Tali system. I'll bring you a raya. Rabbi Elazar Omer, even when it's just one single element of uncertainty, there's a chiyuv Hashem Tali. Koi, that's the animal whose status is not confirmed. It could be behemoth, it could be chayav. If it's a behemoth, the chaylev is awesome. If it's a chayav, the chaylev is mutter. And he ate the chaylev. Chayav and Allah Hashem Tali. You eat this piece of unknown material, it means Hashem Tali. It's one single piece that we're talking about. Just a single element equation. You don't need to. Amar Lois, he says, Rabbi Lezer. Yeah, of course. Sabar Yeshem and Maseris. He focuses on the spelling. It's Vesksiv. But we're going like the other Tanaim, who focus on the pronunciation, which is plural. Esvia comes another kasha with the same teretz. We find a suffix given by a singular entity. Suffix mentisha l'rishon mishav l'achron. So she remarried after her husband passed away without kids. She was miyavim to the brother, who only could marry if there were no kids. 7 months later, she married too close, and 7 months later there was a baby. We're not sure, is it a 7 month baby to Shimon, the new husband, or really does he relate to the old husband? He's a 9 month baby of the first, in which case she wasn't eligible for yibum, and this marriage was in sin. It's vlad kosher. He must separate. But the vlad, the child, is okay either way. Either he's Reuven's child, he's fine. And otherwise, she needed Yibam, so he's fine being Shimon's child. But v'chayav and v'ashem toli, you have to bring v'ashem toli just in case there was a sin. And again, we're talking about a single entity. There are no permissible and prohibited entities in front of you. It's one suffix on this isha. Once again, Amani Rav Elazar, going to Rav Elazar, who requires only one entity. And this becomes another kasha. Nimtza shaloi. So after they interacted, they found the blood on his cloth. Tmein, the man and the woman are tamei, because this confirms that she had nida status when they were together. Otherwise, what's the blood doing on his side? Chayev mekarban, that bring a karban, because certainly they violated the issue of nida. It's a chatas al shalah. But if they found it on her side, oisim, if it's immediately after they interacted, tmein. Chayav mekarban confirms that she was tamei at the time of interaction, after being karban chatas. But nimtzal shalach hazman, let's say they found the trace of dam on her cloth after a while. So now she could have had the status of nida during, or it could have happened later. Tamei misafik, they're both tamei on account of that uncertainty. Upturim nakarban, they don't have to bring a chatas for interacting in a nida state. We're not sure, but they have to bring Hashem Tali. We learned on a brisa on that Mishnah. Chayav mishum Hashem Tali. So you see, Hashem Tali is triggered even by a single element of uncertainty. Once again, Amani Rav Elazar is speaking, who suffices as one entity. Amar Rav Chiya bar Amar Rav. Once again, we quote Rav to say that we need two entities to trigger the Hashem Tali. And he's going to provide a different reason. So we have two pieces. Not sure which one. It's one out of two. But if it's just one chaticha, one piece, which is a safik shal shuman or safik shal chelav, My time of the Rav. What's Rav's reason? So we had one reason before, mitzvahs. Here comes another reason. Because Savar, he holds, Shtei chatichos efshel avar isri. You see, Rashi explains, the point of the Hashem Tole is to make a temporary hold until we figure out what happened. So he learns that actually there needs to be that ability to confirm, to determine what actually happened. Now think of it. There's just one piece and he ate it, it's over. Nothing to determine anymore. You can never verify it. And that's why we need two pieces. And he ate one. In which case, Rashi says, if a world expert will show up, he can theoretically do a lab test on the remaining piece, figure it out, and based on that, we'll know what he ate retroactively. So basically, Hashem Tole only addresses a situation which is ultimately verifiable. And therefore, he says you need two pieces. Shtei chatichas efshel avar isur. You can verify the isur. Chatichas, there's just one piece consumed, done. It's over. Efshel avar isur. You can't determine what happened. So this is a reason, in addition to the previous reason, that we need plural mitzvahs. Any difference between the two reasons? It would seem like in both, you need two pieces. Ma yikav ein taima. Any difference between the reason, the Rava of Rava, which was based on mitzvahs, which teaches us that we need two pieces. One being chelav, one being shuman, and you're meant to keep away from both on account of the uncertainty. Mitzvahs, you're commanded to keep away from both. Versus this reason of verification requirement, meaning time of the Rava, the time of the Rebbe Zera, the difference will be if it's 1.5 pieces. Kazayis and mechtz. You don't have two full portions. You have one full portion of kazayis, another half. So live Rava like a mitzvahs. According to Rava, it's not going to qualify. You don't have two full portions which you're meant to keep away from, because the half portion, not Torah. It's not the full-fledged Israel experience. And therefore it doesn't qualify as mitzvahs. And therefore you're potter. Who potter? Because mitzvah speaks about two full pieces which you meant to keep away from on account of one of them being usur, on account of the uncertainty. You don't have that here. Because the one that's half a kazayis doesn't have that level of Israel. Lirab is zero, efshalavari suru, kundar of zero. Fully qualifies, because whatever it is that's left behind after this fellow is done can be used to verify the identity of the other piece. Eisfei Rabbi Yirmi asked a kashla of Zera. Again, you're going with the assumption you need two pieces, he's going to ask the same kashla as before and give the same tirutzim. He's going to start off with a choice of Isser v'heter. Rabbi Lazoi Mekoi, right? The chelo of the uncertain animal. Chayovin al chalboi, Hashem Toli. If one eats the chelav of a koi, gets Hashem Toli. There's no choice of the matter, it's just one single piece whose status is unknown. Amalir of Lezer, Savar, Lubin of Lezer. Lezer doesn't need this determination capabilities. So one piece of uncertainty is fully qualifying for Hashem Toli. Esri comes the next kasha from the Yibum situation. Savar went to Shalushim and Shalushim Achrain. Yitzalat kasha from Hashem Toli. The question is why? There are no two elements to speak of. It's one woman, one Hamani Rav Lezi. Once again, Rav Lezi holds it's not required. Ace becomes another kasha with the Dam of the Nida, Nimtal Shalom, Esyim Tmeim, Oisim Tmeim, Chayim Karbon, Mr. Shalach Hazman. They find it after a while. The Tmeim is Safek, Tum, not Karbon, there's no Chatas, but there's Ashen Tali. Why? Tani Lash Kwashim, Chayim Rashen Tali. The question is why? Hamani Rav Lezi, once again, Rav Lezi is the one who says we don't need the double element equation. We look at the spelling, mitzvahs, and we don't have the din of avar isuroi. So any sort of uncertainty, even if it relates to a single item, qualifies for Hashem Tali. Okay, so bottom line, we have Kares by Mezid, Chatas by Shoigig, we have Hashem Tali by the Safik, according to Rav Asi, and others. One element of Safik is enough, so one piece of a Safik triggers Hashem Tali. According to the other Shita, Shita's Rav, we need start off with a choice of two, one being Asur, one being Mutter, which he found out later to be the story. And now there's a Safek which one he ate. In that case, it's Hashem Tali. It's based on the Pasuk of Mitzvahs. We have another reason. It needs to be Efshel Avar Yisrui, which only happens when you have two pieces and there's one left. that could be sent to the lab. Okay, all the best to you and much hatzlacha.